Hello, and welcome to the third edition of The Forum, a podcast by staff. In this edition, we are looking at the care experience bursary. It's a topic that's generated a number of questions from our members on how it works in practice, but has also got a fair bit of coverage in the press. The Scottish Government recently sought to clarify the policy intention of the bursary in a letter to local authorities from John Swinney, the Education Secretary and Deputy First Minister. So who better to answer questions on the issue than John Swinney himself? I went to speak to John at the Scottish Government's offices in Glasgow. I was joined by Kevin Lafferty, who's a member of our Youth Just Us group, who are a group of care and justice experienced young people who are seeking to influence change in the system. Here's how that conversation went. We're here at the Scottish Government's headquarters in Glasgow, and with John Swinney, the Deputy First Minister and Education Secretary. John, thanks for speaking to us.
Great to be here, Will.
So, John, staff's a membership organisation that supports everyone around young people leaving care. So the care experience bursary is obviously something that's came up a lot with our members. At the end of last year, we noticed we were getting a lot of questions around the application of the bursary and how it interacts with other entitlements young people have in care. And in February, we had our first forum with local authority managers. And this was one of the big topics of conversation. And we realised around the same time, the Scottish Government were developing a letter to go to local authorities to explain the policy intention of the policy. So I suppose what is the policy intention of the bursary and what prompted that letter to local authorities? What made you take that step to write to chief executives?
The policy intention of the care experience bursary is crystal clear. It's to be additional to support young people. So it's additional to all other entitlements. And the reason for that is that comes from our recognition that for care experienced young people, there will be a need for additional support. And it's not going to be the only element of additional support. There'll be a whole range of other wraparound arrangements that will be necessary. But fundamentally, the care experience person is one part and it should be viewed as additional to other entitlements that care experienced young people have. I was hearing from within, from amongst care experienced young people, that not in all circumstances was it being viewed as additional. And I wanted to make clear just how clear we viewed that policy to be, and the letter was prompted by the need to make sure that point was very clear and widely understood and supported by our local authority colleagues.
Yeah, so I think that was what picked up from a lot of our local authority members is they weren't clear on the fact that it was additional in terms of some of the other entitlements or how it interacted with rent or things like that. And there was councils that were going above and beyond and there was confusion as to how that could be done in other places. The letter went to local authority chief executives. I'm just wondering what sort of work the government plan to do to get it right down to the practitioner level and to make sure that everyone is quite clear on how the bursary operates, not just on the policy intention, but on the mechanics of that and who operates, the differences between colleges and universities, those kind of things.
There's two elements to that. The first is that it's important that wherever information is held and judgments made about the care experience bursary, the aspirations and intentions of the letter that I set out are very clearly understood at all levels. So whether that's within local authorities, colleges, universities, it has to be shared with practitioners and it's up to those organisations to do exactly that. There's another element to that, which is about making sure that there is much wider awareness about the care experience bursary. And I think one of the challenges that we often find in government is that the government will make a policy decision, will set out a policy proposal, but that doesn't actually reach all the people that it needs to reach.
Yeah.
And we've got to make sure that there's wide awareness. So from the perspective of a care experienced young person, they're equipped with the knowledge and information that enables them to raise that as part of their understanding. But of course, the difficulty with that is that if you're a care experienced young person interacting with officialdom and bureaucracy, I appreciate that's quite daunting. So it's really important that officialdom and bureaucracy is well aware of how the care experience person should be administered.
Some of the young people that our members support have the most interaction with services because they're kind of classed as care leavers and they get the local authority has a statutory responsibility to look out for their interests. What sort of work is done with the kind of wider care experience community that may not have interacted with services since, you know, they were in care?
I think what we do with that, Liam, is we have to make sure those who are care experienced are given all the support that they require. You know, I think that there is an acknowledgement that individuals who are care experienced will face greater challenges, or are likely to face greater challenges in life than those who are not care experienced. That doesn't just stop when you reach a certain age threshold. That might persist for all time. So as a society, where I think we are now going through a period where we are, where we realise the importance of providing more effective long-term support for care-experienced individuals, we have to make sure that that's factored into all of our service planning and support over many years. And I suppose fundamentally for me, the issue of quality of that support and crucially the focus of that support on the individual is essential in making that judgment. So I'd like to see us moving more and more to a much more person-centred approach to how we deliver services, rather than saying, here's a service that we deliver and hope that it meets the needs of a care experienced individual. We actually look at individuals and say, what is it that you need as a care experienced individual to be able to meet your next steps in life? And that's very much at the heart of the thinking we expect to come out of the care review that was established by the government a couple of years ago, and which we want to see at the heart of the system that we've put in place.
Yeah, it's a big, we have a series of focus groups and staff, and we had an employment focus group today. And one of the big topics was about interaction with services, particularly social security, so with the diesel BP. And having that person-centred approach is key to that. It's about making sure that the local authority themselves, their job really, part of it is to maximise the income of that young person and making sure that they have the income they need to kind of thrive. And sometimes that doesn't happen with some services. So it's great to hear that, you know, that's a much wider topic.
I think what's important is that we build all of that around the individual. So and rather than saying, you know, the state offers, you know, service A, service B, service C, service D, what we actually say is, well, you're a care experienced individual, whatever stage in your life you're at, here is what we will work with you to try to help you in your journey. Because every journey is going to be different. Oh, everybody's different. Everyone's had a different experience. But what we acknowledge, and I think this is a really important shift in thinking, is that we acknowledge that things are more difficult and more challenging for care experienced individuals. So what we've got to do is to put in place the support that will work for each individual. Yeah. And we shouldn't shy away from that challenge.
And I suppose talking about that kind of the kind of no wrong path type thing, you know, for a lot of care experienced young people, the route into to a job or to university is college. And I think some of the issues we've seen arise have happened since the bursary have expanded into further education. So there's a lot more take up, obviously, of that. Some of the issues we've seen around that are from the fact that the application, I suppose, of the bursary is through the colleges themselves who. And there's great advantages to that because the college can provide one-to-one support. They're themselves a corporate parent, so they can provide the support with that. But there's not a lot of understanding we're finding with through care and aftercare teams of how colleges operate that part of the bursary. How can government facilitate the kind of working together of colleges and leaving care teams to make sure that information, you know, shared so they both understand. I suppose it's from a corporate parenting perspective.
What's the first thing I'd say, Liam, is it really shouldn't be that difficult. If we actually focus on the individual, it shouldn't be that difficult. And I suppose it comes back to the answer I've just given you. If we approach this through the mindset of provide a range of services and hope that they collide with a care experienced individual, I think that really misses the point. That ill-serves queer experienced individuals. If, for example, it's a college member of staff, and, you know, I have to say, from my experience of colleges, I meet fabulous individuals in colleges who are really trying very hard to find routes for young people whose first route, or maybe even their second route, doesn't work out for them. They're very focused on that type of space, and they, if all of their advice and their energy is concentrated on how can I help this individual with all the different tools at my disposal to make progress, of which the care experience bursary might be one, we're likely to make an awful lot more impact as a consequence and make a much greater difference in the lives of individuals.
Yeah, and that's something we hear a lot, is that young people might not start on the college course they eventually finish. It's the maybe a few false starts before they find the thing they're passionate about and want to pursue. So I suppose what I'm hearing from you is answers one of the questions one of our members raised was a young person that had changed college courses a couple of times, just trying to find what was right for them, and didn't get the bursary in the end as part of that. But if we apply what you're saying, if it's a person-centred service and it's about doing what's right for them, that young person should be getting a bursary if that's appropriate to support them into college.
Yeah, and look, obviously colleges have got to make their judgments about admissions policy, but you know, fundamentally, I think, you know, for some people, they've got a very elegant route through life. It's pretty clear to them what they want to do, how they go about doing it, and it happens. For others, it's a bit more of a circuitous route. And I think we've got to be patient with those individuals and try to help them find the right course. And of course, what I recognise explicitly, and it runs through all of my comments that I've made so far in this podcast, is that for care experienced individuals, we acknowledge as a society that that is more challenging for them to have that, to find that straightforward, first off, elegant route to go forward. There might be a few different routes that have got to be taken. But again, I think certainly what I want to make sure is that we have an approach which is sympathetic and empathetic to that, and that we support individuals to fulfil their potential.
Now that we've talked about some of the specific issues in the care experience bursary, let's have a quick break. And when we're back, we'll talk about some of the bigger issues around the policy. Welcome back to the forum. In the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk about some of the wider issues around the Care Experience Bursary, and we're going to hear from Kevin Lafferty from Youth Just Us. One of the kind of the wider issues that we've been asked about is the fact that the bursary hasn't risen the last few years. It was originally tied to the real living wage, and that's intention anyway, that it would be tied to the living wage. Would it be your ambition that the bursary would increase in terms of living costs?
I would like to see that, but obviously, you know, there are many constraints that we have to wrestle with as we take that forward. But what I'm certainly committed to do is to keep it under review, the level of the bursary, to identify how we can best meet the needs of individuals as a consequence of employment.
And finally, from me, before we'll introduce Kevin as well. So while progress has been made, I suppose the latest looked after children education stats show that the gap between, as you've talked about there, you know, the challenges are much higher for care experienced young people, and we're still seeing a persistent gap while it's narrowing and we're seeing progress. Can you give us an overview of what the government are doing to reduce that gap further, specifically for care experienced young people?
You're right that the gap is narrowing, but it's still a big gap, and it's an intolerable gap. So I don't want to try to sit here and say that it's all resolved. It's not. We're making progress, but it's going to take a lot of effort to get there. I think there's a combination of a number of things that have got to happen here. The first is how do we as a society focus on closing the attainment gap within our education system. When I think back over my lifetime, the attainment gap has been a persistent part of Scottish education. And it was there when I was at school, you know, over 40 years ago. And it's still there today. Now, that's terrible. And we've taken on the commitment as a government to try to close that attainment gap over a 10-year period. And we're very committed to making sure that that will be the case. So the introduction of measures such as the Scottish Attainment Challenge and pupil equity funding is designed to put resources in to support the closure of that gap. Now, just today, for example, I've been at a secondary school. I've been at two secondary schools today, one through Edinburgh, one in Glasgow. And the one in Edinburgh I was at, Western Hills Education Centre, they were demonstrating to me some really significant progress in improving the literacy and numeracy performance of young people in their school. Now, that is, literacy and numeracy is just fundamental to how you live your life. You won't get on in life without a good command of literacy and numeracy. So there's an example of how generally we are trying to close the attainment gap through those resources. But then care experienced young people will have different requirements. One of the other things that I saw both at West Hales Education Centre this morning and Rock End High School in the East End of Glasgow that I was at this afternoon, two schools that are working really hard in really tough circumstances to meet the needs of young people. They were focusing very much on what they had to do child by child to enable those children individually to fulfil their potential. So that, in a sense, gives me a lot of encouragement that our education system is now doing exactly what I've spent most of the time on this podcast talking about, and that's been child-centred, working out what does each individual child need and how can we support them to get it. For some children, and I'm not generalising here, but you know, a child from a care experience background might find it difficult to just come in to school at 5 to 9 in the morning and unpack the school bag and get out the neat homework and get on with the day. It might be a bit more challenging than that. So schools are adapting and working out how they can support those young people to be able to do their homework and to get their settled approach into school and get on with things so that they can maximise their school connection and their school time. So that's lying at the heart of what is a really important commitment.
So just a final note from me, I suppose, our vision as an organisation is that young people leaving care have as much ability to have a happy and successful life as any other young person. And the way we do that, I suppose, is to make sure we prioritise what's important to care experienced young people, and then we work at how we achieve that. How do we get workers to achieve what the young people want? And I suppose that's behind the whole ethos of the care review and getting to that point. You know, the young people have very clearly set out what they want to happen. You know, where they want a system that's got love in it and those kind of things. What our members would ask, I suppose, is when we get to the end of that care review and we start implementing recommendations, how do we make sure that the workers on the ground and the practitioners, that they are fully part of that implementation phase, and they be taken into account the challenges and that they face in changing the whole system? Because it's got to be about changing the whole system, I suppose, in the end, and they have to be included in that.
Yes, entirely. And it has to be a whole system approach. We need to engage lots of organisations in that and individuals in that process. We've got to win hearts and minds to the agenda that we take forward. So the First Minister and I have given probably the clearest and most significant policy commitments we could to address this issue. We were asked to set up a care review and give it time to think these things through. That's what we've done. I appreciate it's taken some time, but that's the time that we said it would take. But I want us to make as much progress in the short term as we can do. So examples like the care experience bursary are a step in the right direction. The government will set out its policy priorities to Parliament next Tuesday in the programme for government. And I think there'll be things in there that will be of help to care experienced individuals that will help to take forward the agenda even further. And then obviously when the care review reports, I'm certain there'll be other things we've got to do. So hope that people would have confidence that we're making progress on that journey. It's getting more significant as we go on. And crucially, it has to do exactly as you've asked me, Neil, It's got to involve everybody who's involved in the system to make sure the system meets the needs of every care experienced individual.
It's fantastic. It's really good to hear that and to talk about the need really for a whole system approach. That's with everything we do. We find that talking about building relationships with young people, about dealing with effects of trauma and adversity, it's all about changing in its entirety. It can't be done by just piecemeal measures.
Well, one of the things I've learned in my, I've been a minister now for 12 years, and one of the things I've learned in all that time is that no problem is solved in one neat little compartment. So if you've got a, if you take a care experienced individual, you might get them a house, but does that solve all the problems? No, it doesn't. Not in the slightest. A much more complex set of it. You could solve on the face of it what might be the problem, which is I am homeless. But actually there are bound to be other things wrapped around about that that need to be addressed as well, which is why the whole approach has to be person-centred and recognise the complexity of solutions. But fundamentally, you'll always start to do that if you listen to the person, if you love them, if you care for them, if you support them, and that'll help them in the journey.
That's it for me, but Kevin was wanting to ask a question about his experience of applying for the bursary and how we support older care experienced young people to get into college and university.
So sorry, I'm 28. Now, I've just started my studies this year in an access course, and I was knocked back for the care experience bursary because I am 28. And I'm just asking you, is there an assumed financial stability of being 28? Rather than being 26.
Well, first of all, Kevin, I'm delighted that you're on a journey into education and you found that course. I think it's at Cloudbank College, which is great that you're doing that. And I really applaud you for doing that. But you asked me a pretty hard question, which is that, and I suppose the answer to the question must be yes, that there is an assumed financial stability for someone at 28 because the cut-off point is 26 on the care experienced bursary. So I think you raise a point with me that I'm going to have to take away and think carefully about and see if there's other ways. That, because one of the points I said to Liam earlier on is that it doesn't matter where an individual is in their life journey, if they're care experienced, they might need support. And we've got to find the means of making sure that's a practical reality.
Would any age limit not be then contradictory to what you just said? If there was a settled person for me, they would know at the age of 28 that I'm just getting that stability in my life to focus on education. Not when I was 18 and the authority was responsible for me. I'm now in that position, but there isn't a settled person because it's age limit ruled.
The answer to your question may well be yes, that because not everybody just is able to go to school and go to college or university or start a job and then move into the labour market. And it all works in a seamless fashion. Our whole approach in the college sector is about ensuring that people have the ability to undertake lifelong learning, that they might find that at some stage they hit a bump in the road, they lose a job, they might need to reskill, they've got to come back into the college sector to acquire those qualifications. And I suppose what we've got to be mindful of is our system supporting people to do that? And I think the point you make is that somebody may manage to get things together enough to become involved in education, but an age older than our care experienced person might refer to. And we've got to be responsive to that. So I'll take that away, Kevin, and think about what the implications are for government policy.
Well, I feel like that was a very useful conversation. I hope it was for you. We'll take this back to our members, our next local authority forum. We'll be able to tell them that we've fed back all the information that they were talking about directly to yourself, which is really beneficial to them. So thank you very much for your time today. Well,
thank you. I hope I've conveyed to you the importance ministers, particularly the First Minister and I, attach to addressing the issues for care experienced individuals. We're very committed to that and we've got a lot to deliver on. We're making progress on that. But you've also given me other things to think about as a consequence of our conversation. And that's as it should be. I should be listening to and reflecting the priorities of other folk and addressing that within the government's agenda. So I'll give you the commitment to make sure that I do that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming into Atlantic Key today for the conversation.
Thank you very much. So I hope you agree that was a really full and informative discussion. It's absolutely clear that the care experience bursary should be considered as additional to any other entitlements care leavers receive. It was also good to hear the Deputy First Minister's commitment to whole systems change, and in particular, including practitioners in the process of implementing the care review recommendations. When we spoke to the Deputy First Minister, the Scottish Government's programme for the year ahead was coming up, so keep an eye on our website to keep up to date with the outcome of that. Thank you for listening to this edition of The Forum, and as ever, you can follow all of our work by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.